Hey, good morning, everybody. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. It appears that the Republicans got off to a less than stellar start this week at their convention in Cleveland. Following a rocky rollout over the weekend of Mike Pence as the vice presidential pick, there was a vitriolic floor fight over rules on Monday afternoon. The sharp attacks on Hillary Clinton by several speakers on Monday night were overshadowed yesterday by the controversy surrounding Melania Trump's clumsy plagiarism of all people, Michelle Obama. And by the way, the rock band Queen tweeted yesterday that Trump's use of their legendary song We Are the Champions was unauthorized. They joined the Rolling Stones, Neil Young, R.E.M., and Aerosmith in asking the Trump campaign to stop using their music. Even the roll call of the states last night that gave Mr. Trump the nomination officially included an awkward glitch with the state of Alaska and delayed the evening's primetime lineup. Convention ends tomorrow night. Here on Maryland Morning on Friday, we'll get analysis from Richard Cross, who's in Cleveland working as a speechwriter at the convention. Chris Kafalas, he's a Maryland Republican candidate in the U.S. Senate primary race last April. And Adar Ayira of the Associated Black Cherries and Baltimore Racial Justice Action. This morning, I'm pleased to welcome back to the program Jenna Johnson, who has been covering the Trump campaign since last September for The Washington Post. She joins us from the convention in Cleveland. Good morning, Jenna. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you. I know you're busy, and I appreciate your taking the time. It seems, from watching it on television, that the tone of this convention is particularly down. I mean, you see cutaways to people in the audience. Nobody looks particularly happy. I mean, what's your take on the general vibe inside the convention hall?
Well, Donald Trump's campaign has been built around making America great again, and that it's not great right now. I mean, sometimes he'll say that the United States is practically a third world country. The infrastructure is crumbling. Everyone's racially divided. Cities are exploding. Crime is going up. I mean, things are pretty terrible is kind of the message that he has, and that it's going to take something, very sudden and shaking to get the country back onto a new track. And so that tone of his campaign has carried into this convention. And Monday night we had a series of speakers who got up and talked about very heavy topics, parents whose children have been killed by illegal immigrants, speakers talking about the horrors of ISIS and the safety threats facing the nation. Last night there was supposed to be a lot of talk about the economy. That kind of got lost in some attacks on Hillary Clinton. But the people who did talk about the economy talked about wages not going up, there not being enough jobs, things just not being on track. And, conventions usually are a big celebration, a big party. And when you sit through hour after hour after hour of those speeches, it gets pretty heavy, and you can just feel it in the convention hall.
There's still a lot of talk about how divided the Republican Party is. When you walk around the floor of the convention, you talk to people who are there. Are you getting a sense that the Trump campaign is beginning to move the needle towards unification with the party? Do you get any notion that people are going to, sort of put the past to rest and come out of Cleveland in any sort of united way against Secretary Clinton?
Well, the problem is, people who support Donald Trump really, really, really support him. And those who do not like him really, really do not like him. And that it's going to take a feat for them to come around and not just support him, but to promote him. It takes a big step to be at the convention. There are a lot of Republicans who didn't even show up to the convention. So by showing up, they're showing that they're willing to be here and to listen to him. But it doesn't help when he comes out onto stage on Monday night to the tune of We Are the Champions, celebrating, championing, being the champion in the Republican primary, beating other Republicans. Monday night, Donald Trump also did a call-in interview to Fox News, overshadowing his own convention. And during that interview is, going after Ohio Governor John Kasich for not showing up to the convention and, pointing out that he won 38 states and, Kasich is a loser and things like that. And also, I mean, this Never Trump movement that we've seen try and try again to derail this, you know, when they had pretty much lost their biggest battle last week, Donald Trump's campaign manager, and then Donald Trump himself came out and said, "We crushed them," and they really celebrated it. Even though these are fellow Republicans whose support they probably need if they want to win in the fall. So there have been, it has not been perfect this week, but there are still 2 days left, so we'll see what happens.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall, joined on the phone from the convention in Cleveland by Jenna Johnson, who's been covering the Trump campaign since last September. Jenna, the theme for Monday night was Make America Safe Again. The theme last night was Make America Work Again. And tonight it's Make America First Again. Regardless of what the themes have been, particularly last night when it was supposed to be about the economy, Nate Silver at 538 did a word count, and they confirmed that the words Hillary and Clinton were the two most common words spoken last night at the convention, and the word work was spoken in 10th place behind many other words. So this does seem, if there is a unifying factor, it's a distaste for Secretary Clinton and an utter repulsion at the notion that she could be the president. And of course, that's a distaste that's for Mr. Trump that's shared with equal passion on the other side. But do you think that the Trump campaign still believes that they can win without the party? I mean, are they fully prepared to sort of go this alone, or are they going to need to embrace the structure that the Republican Party has in place?
I mean, for months now, they have said they want to unify the party. They want to get all Republicans on board, that they want to, Donald Trump said at one point he doesn't want to be an outsider anymore. A lot of times that messaging doesn't match up with his other messaging, but they have acknowledged that they want to work with the party and that they're making steps to do that. And the one thing that they can rally around, whether people like Donald Trump or not, is that one thing a lot of Republicans, all Republicans have in common, is this fear of Hillary Clinton becoming president. And you're right, there might be these themes every night that are, you know, displayed on the scoreboard and things like that. But the number one theme this week is Hillary Clinton cannot be president. And we really saw that last night when Chris Christie came on stage and basically prosecuted her on a number of different counts. And each time he asked the audience if they thought she was guilty or not guilty, and they just boomed back, guilty. And sometimes they would start chanting, lock her up, lock her up. So, I mean, that's the rallying cry that we're hearing from the convention hall this week.
And what was it like to be in the midst of that? Because, you know, when you saw that on television, particularly in the context of the violence that sometimes accompanied some of the rallies that Mr. Trump held during the campaign, that was a little, to tell you the truth, frightening to me. I mean, to see that kind of vitriol done in such a massive way, and I wonder if that portends the kinds of rallies that we're going to be treated to over the next few months before November.
Well, I mean, to be honest, this was nothing like some of the things that I've seen and heard at Trump rallies. You know, there are much worse things that are shouted about Hillary Clinton. And, you know, in the hall, as these things are being chanted, you know, there's a that's the lighter moment. You know, amid all the doom and gloom, the rallying moments are when everyone can come together and chant something about Hillary Clinton.
What about his handling of the media? The Washington Post was one of, I don't know, half a dozen, maybe even more, news organizations who were denied credentials by the Trump campaign during the primaries. They don't control the credentialing at the convention, but has it affected the reporting that the Post has, for example, been able to do on the campaign trail? And do you see any pivot away from this very, you know, acrimonious posture towards the media?
Well, we've been very determined to not let it impact our reporting at all. Whenever he has a rally, we can no longer go in the media entrance, sit in the media pen, plug in our laptops, things like that. So I just have to get to rallies a few hours early. I stand in line with everyone else. To be quite honest, it's been a really good experience in that way. I always like watching rallies from the crowd instead of from the media pen. That's something I used to do pretty regularly before the ban went into place. So I'll wait in line for a couple hours, sometimes in 97-degree heat, sometimes in pouring rain. You know, one time I waited for several hours and wasn't able to get in. And then we watch from the stands, and all the rally speeches are streamed online, so we could also have a second person in the D.C. office watching it there.
Yeah, maybe you get a better feel for it if you're among the voters. Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
You know, you can hear what people are shouting. Yeah. You can really feel, you know, you can easily chat with people about what they think.
Well, we'll let you get back to that because we are out of time now. But I appreciate so much your checking in again, and we will talk to you soon, I'm sure. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jana Johnson covers politics for The Washington Post. She's been traveling with the Trump campaign for most of the last year. She's joined us on the phone from the Republican convention in Cleveland. Stay tuned for complete coverage of both the Republican and Democratic conventions. NPR and PBS are presenting joint coverage every night beginning at 8 o'clock right here on 88.1. WIPR. Coming up after a break for the news, the challenges that Marilyn Mosby and her team of prosecutors face as they continue pressing their cases in the remaining trials of officers indicted in the arrest of Freddie Gray. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.